got a good beat. It does. Oh, good morning, church. Good morning to you in the building. Good morning to you online. It's good to have you here. We are in a new series, Come As You Are. I'm Pastor Vern. Before we get into the message, though, I do want to say a couple more things about some events and just a little bit of updating on things. First of all, Pastor Marcia is in Senegal with the team. They arrived there about 3:30 this morning, our time. They're about, I think they're 4 hours ahead of us. So they arrived, they're in good shape. She said when they arrived, it was about 7:30 their time, it was 80 degrees and sunny. So we got the sunny part. We're not gonna get the 80 degrees part, but that's how, if it's 80 degrees at 7:30 in the morning, what's it gonna be at noon, right, or 3:30? It's gonna be warm. But keep them in prayer for this whole experience and what they're doing there. We appreciate that. Also wanted to tell you, we got late notice, just things being the way they are this year, that the Day of Caring, the United Way Day of Caring, is going to be held in Genesee County this year. It's on Wednesday, May 19th. This is something our staff has participated in 6 years in a row. Up until last year, we weren't able, obviously, to do that. But we take the day and we go out and we volunteer someplace where they assign us and just try to show the love of our church for the community. And we always invite people from the congregation to join us. So if you're available on Wednesday, May 19th, and you'd like to be a part of that, you just let us know somehow. Send me a message or let someone know at one of the tables out there today so we can sign you up as a volunteer. And the last thing I want to mention, Pastor Dan mentioned the Centered event, and I just want to encourage you, tonight, Pastor Dave Prince and his wife Linda from our Palmyra Free Methodist Church will be here. Linda, if you were here, you heard me mention last week, she had a miraculous healing from MS, and they're going to come and share their testimony with us. And so we encourage you to come out, and yes, if you're able to sign up, that really helps us to be prepared and to know. But at this point, we got plenty of room tonight, so if you're not able to sign up, and you know, if the last minute you decide, oh, we really can make it there, love to have you come. So that starts at 6 o'clock tonight, okay? And with that, we'll get into today's message. The message today in our Come As You Are series is this: even if we have different perspectives on things, you're still welcome here. I want you to imagine that you're out in your yard working one day, or maybe a day like today, and you're raking and you're cleaning things up, you're getting the flower beds ready, and you've been doing this all day, and you're wrapping up your work for the day, and your neighbor calls over and says, hey, the barbecue is all done, and we got plenty. We want you to come right now and join us for dinner. And you say what? Oh, you know, I can't, you know, I mean, thank you so much, but, you know, I got dirt all over my face, and my clothes are a mess, and my hair is a mess, and I just can't. I'd have to go in and get, no, we want you to come right now. Don't worry about that stuff. I don't care that your hair is a mess. I don't care you got dirt on your face. I don't care what your clothes look like. The food is ready. It's on the table. We want you to come. What are they doing? They're inviting you to come as you are, right? Come as you are. Don't worry about your hair. Don't worry about how you look, because what we care about is not your clothes, not the dirt on your face. What we care about is you. We want you to come and spend some time with us. That's what we care about. That's what we're inviting you to. And folks, that's what this whole series is about. This whole series is about just come as you are. Don't think you got to be all cleaned up and prim and proper before you come. Just come. You are invited. We are welcoming people to our church as a place where they can feel comfortable. We say this sometimes, at least among the staff, we've said this. I think we've said it in here too. We want people to feel comfortable here at every point until they hit the gospel. If the gospel makes them uncomfortable, we get it. Gospel makes a lot of us uncomfortable when we first hear it, right? The call of Jesus on our lives. So that's expected. But we don't want to put anything in place that causes people to feel uncomfortable with being here up to the point where they hear the gospel. Come as you are. Come as you are. That's the big idea. Pastor John started us off last week. Great message. If you haven't seen it, you can look it up on our website. I think YouTube, Facebook, those things too. Come as you are, and he talked about no matter how far you've wandered away from God, come as you are. Great message. Today we're going to talk about come as you are. You are welcome, even if we are not in complete agreement on all matters. You know, it's nearly impossible to be in complete agreement with somebody on all matters, isn't it? I mean, you know, the obvious ones, we disagree about politics, we disagree about religion, we disagree about what? Where we're going to go for dinner, right? Have you ever had that disagreement among yourselves as couples, right? Or as a family, right? You know, I remember when our kids were young, you know, sometimes there were four of us, we'd have four different ideas about what we wanted to do for dinner, right? We had to figure it out. I mean, it's hard for, last night I was talking about this, about how hard it is to disagree about dinner, and there was one couple, and she was going like this, and he was going like this, and I said, they can't even agree on whether they disagree about dinner, right? It's just normal. We're human beings. As human beings, we're going to have disagreements about things, right? We should accept that as normal. God made us with minds. He made us able to think, and he gave us, you know, the opportunity to create opinions and to think about things, and we're in different places on a lot of stuff. So the fact that we disagree on things should not be a surprise to us. This is the important point that I want to make in this message. If you hear nothing else, disagreement doesn't have to mean disassociation. Disagreement does not have to mean disassociation. Okay? And that's the point I want to drive today in this message. Oh, there we go, having trouble. So, I am looking for, just take a second here and say this, I'm looking for someone to hang out with, but I don't want to hang out with just anybody. I'm looking for somebody who likes food. Anybody like food here? Okay. But it's not just any food. I want to find somebody who likes desserts. Okay? But not just any desserts. I only want to hang out with people that like ice cream for dessert. Ah, yeah, that's good, okay. Not any ice cream. It's got to be Perry's ice cream. Got a cup, one hand, okay. All right, but not any Perry's ice cream either. It's got to be chocolate chip. Okay? Not any chocolate chip. I only want to hang out with people that like chunky chocolate chip. Now, okay, you and me are hanging out after the service. However, I got to tell you this. I have looked for Perry's Chunky Chocolate Chip ice cream in a lot of places. You can ask Deb. Every new grocery store I go to, I look to see if they have Perry's Chunky Chocolate Chip ice cream, but it's been very hard to find. The only place I know for sure I could get it was at La Via's Pizzeria in Gowanda. So I'm looking for somebody to hang out with who's willing to go to Gowanda, to La Via's Pizzeria, to get Chunky Chocolate Chip ice cream, and that's the only person I want to hang with. Okay, we're going. All right? Now, that's kind of silly, right? But you know what? We're doing that in our culture more and more, right? I only want to hang out with people that think the way I think about things, that hold the opinions I hold about things, that don't disagree with me. I want to hang out with people that line up right where I line up. Those are the people I want to talk to. Those are the people I want to hang out with. And if you're not in line with me on things, then maybe we shouldn't even be hanging out together, okay? Now, you might say that's a little drastic, but that is happening in our culture more and more. We are living in a time, you've probably heard this phrase, we're living in a cancel culture. Have you heard that phrase, cancel culture? You know what that means? It means if I don't like what you're saying, then I've got a right to cancel you out of my life or cancel you out of social media if I run those platforms. And this has happened, okay? One example, and there are others, but one example, recently a Catholic bishop posted. I say posted, forgive me, I'm 63, all right? He tweeted, okay? I'll try and get the terms right. He tweeted on Twitter something about being opposed to assisted suicide. And Twitter took his account offline for that. Now, they later reinstated it. But a point has been made. If we run a social media platform and we don't like what you say, we can cancel you from that platform, right? We know this happens. And I'll say this too. We need to be balanced about this. There's an appropriate place, right, to say, I'm not listening to this anymore. We're not gonna broadcast this anymore. There's an appropriate place for that. The classic example is, you know, in terms of free speech, you can't go into a movie theater and yell fire because that puts people in danger, right? So there's a balance to this. But what we need to be concerned about is when we're not putting people in danger, but we're expressing an opinion that we hold about things, okay, that is not endangering people, it's not endangering people, but it's an opinion that we hold dearly, and others who control things, control communication, say, well, we're not gonna let you share that opinion. because we don't agree with it. That's cancel culture, and we need to be careful about that. This happens, you know. Division happens over disagreements all the time. It happens in the church. You may have heard this story. I'm going to tell it anyway, so don't stop me. Don't try to stop me if you've heard it, because I'm going to go ahead and tell it anyway, okay? There was a story about a guy who gets shipwrecked on an island all by himself. He's on an island all by himself for quite a long time. And after a while, a guy in a boat happens to come ashore on that island, and he finds him. And this rescuer says to the guy on the island, he says, look, I look out here, and I see three huts. And I'm curious, what are these three huts about? And the man who's being rescued says, well, the middle hut, that's where I live. Okay. What's the one on the left? Oh, that's my church. That's where I go to worship. Oh, okay. What's the one on the right? Well, that's where I used to go to church. I love that you laugh. That means you haven't heard. I've heard this story like 40 years ago, so it must come around again. It's okay to tell it again, okay? But you laugh too because you get the point, right? Because in the church, even in the church, you know, we find ourselves in places where we disagree. So, I'm just not going there anymore. I'm out. I'm going to go find a different church because I didn't like what they said. I don't agree with some of their opinions or their thoughts or the way they interpret things. Now, again, balance, right? Balance. Sometimes that's necessary. If you're part of a church that's preaching heresy, I've always said to people, that's an appropriate reason to leave, okay? If you're part of a church that has committed itself too much to things that are opposed to Christ or Christ would oppose, okay, then we have reasons to make changes. This happened in the Free Methodist Church, right? Some of you know the Free Methodist history. In 1860, the Free Methodist Church didn't exist prior to 1860. It was part of a different church denomination, but the issue of slavery had arisen in our country, and the Free Methodists, the people who became the Free Methodists, took a strong stand. They said, we need to speak on this. The church needs to have a voice and needs to say slavery is wrong and people should not be slaves. They should not be enslaved, and we need to speak out about that in the church. And because they couldn't get a voice in their denomination, they separated out and they created the Free Methodist Church. That's part of our history. So there is a time and a place for disassociating. But often our disassociation is about things that are much less important or not so critical, right? People have left churches because the church replaced their pews with chairs. People have left churches because they replaced the organ with a piano. This is disassociating and disagreeing, but and for the wrong motives and reasons. Now, over the past year, okay, things have gotten a little more serious. People are leaving churches because they don't share the same political beliefs with other people in the church. People are leaving churches because there's a split between those who think you should get vaccinated or not get vaccinated, all right? These are not reasons to leave a church. These are disagreements that should not cause disassociation. You know, there are 29%, recently this came out in a poll, 29% of the pastors in America are thinking not of moving to a different church, they're thinking of getting out of ministry entirely. Why? Because they're tired of having to deal with things like shot or no shot, masked or no masks. Pro this political party or not pro this political party. You see, pastors get into ministry to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to deal with these things. These are disagreements that we can have and not disassociate over, not divide over, right? If we keep the main thing, the main thing. Paul encourages us to do this. Colossians chapter 2, he says this, I want you to know, speaking to the Colossian church, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. See, Paul says there's a direct link between being united in love and having a complete understanding of who Jesus is. One of the things that characterized Jesus and Paul, who wrote those verses, is that they were includers. They sought to include people, not exclude people. So you know, Jesus, he called those who others would exclude. He called the lepers to him. He called the sick to him. He called the sinners to him. He called those of different ethnicities to him, of different races to him, right? He went to them, right? He sought to include them in the circle, not to exclude them from the circle. Here, Pastor Dan, we've done a strength finders test, and one of Pastor Dan's strengths is that he's an includer. And if about a week or so ago, I had an opportunity to kind of test that without him knowing it and to watch it in action. So as a staff, we were kind of having lunch in the cafe one day, and Dan took his phone out, and he was showing a couple of the staff members something on his phone. And I was sitting a few tables away, and I'm watching this, but I was thinking about Dan being an includer, and I thought, I wonder if he will show me what he's showing them, because that's something an includer would do. An includer would look around and say, is there somebody here I'm leaving out of this right now? I need to draw them into it. And sure enough, after he got done showing them, he walked over to where I was. I did not approach him. He walked over to where I was, and he said, here, this is what I was showing them. That's what an includer does. An includer says, I want to bring other people into this. I don't want to leave anybody out. I don't want to turn anybody away. Pastor Dan is an includer. Paul was an includer. Jesus is an includer. We are to be includers in our church. We're to be people that welcome people to come as they are. You know, we're better off with diversity in the church. We're better off with a diversity of opinions in the church on the non-essentials of our faith. We're better off with a diversity of perspectives in the church. There's a lot to be gained from listening to each other. This is my next point. Sociologists talk about silos. And I grew up on a farm. I can tell you silos can be dangerous places, okay? And living in a silo can be a dangerous thing to do. When we live in a silo, it means that we surround ourselves with voices that are like ours, with people who have the opinions we have, okay? We only listen to certain things, and those things generally are the things that support what we already believe and think, okay? And that can be a dangerous place to be, because maybe what I need to hear is not what I already think is right. Maybe I need to hear some other perspectives to help me think about what it is that I think. Does that make sense? Yeah, so the Bible encourages us to do that. Proverbs 18:17 says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. If you ever had that experience, maybe with some friends who are having an argument, you know, you listen to one friend and they say this, 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 and this. You say, well, yeah, I can understand. Yeah, that's upsetting. That's not right. And that's not good. And then the other friend they're having the argument with comes and they talk to you separately and they say, yeah, but what about this, this, this? And then you make some good points there. That's true. You know, and you know, you think the first person has a solid case until you hear the second person. And then you think, well, maybe, you know, it's not one or the other. Maybe it's some combination of things or something else is going on here. In other words, this proverb is just saying, listen, be careful about taking the first opinion you hear and running with it. You need to listen to other opinions. You need to listen to other people so that you can understand what you think. Proverbs 27:17 is iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. There's a guy in our church, I'm smiling because he's actually here right now, but I'm not going to look at him. And he and I, it's okay though, because he and I have had some wonderful conversations about things we disagree about. You know, theologically, we disagree about how the Revelation is going to play out, right? we disagree about, you know, we've had conversations about God and healing and how that works and all of that. And we don't line up exactly in the same places on some of these things, but we have had some awesome discussions about it. And we have, I think, grown closer because we've had those disagreements and been able to talk them through and we've learned from each other. So when we live in a silo and we don't let other people speak into our lives, people who disagree with us, we lose out. We miss out on that. Listening to people we disagree with can help us to earn or gain respect for them. Okay? It can help us to understand where they come from. It can help us clarify our own thoughts and beliefs, and it can help us discover where we might be wrong. Now, in our church, Northgate, we might disagree on all kinds of things. In fact, I know that we do, because I have the privilege of talking to a whole range of people here, and I hear the disagreements, you know? Things like, did God create the earth and the universe in seven literal 24-hour days? We have people here that say, yep, absolutely. We have other people say, no, I can't buy that. We have other people that say, I don't know, and it's not important to me, right? We have people all over the place with that. How will the end times play out? Is it pre-trib? If it's a post-trib? Is it pre-millennial? You know, we have people, again, all over the place on that, and we have people that say, I'm not concerned. It'll play out as God plays it out. Okay? We have people who approach issues like immigration and poverty and vaccines and the role of government all in different places. And you know what? I'm grateful for that. I'm glad that we're a church where we have a diversity of opinions on those things, because none of them are absolutely nailed down like here's the one absolutely correct way to think about that or to deal with that. There's a variety of thoughts on the things that I just mentioned, and that's okay. And when we share with each other, when we're able to disagree and still love and care about one another, we grow. We get stronger as a congregation, as individuals. There was a study done at my alma mater where I got my master's in social work, Washington University in St. Louis. And it was a study about people forming their opinions and then having discussions with people they disagree with. And it said that when you can have discussions with people you disagree with but you have relationship with, you typically end up having better clarity about what you actually think, okay? And sometimes your opinion may change, okay, because of those discussions. But the important part of the study was they said, if you only listen to social media, that's not what happens. If you only listen to social media, then the opinion you originally had typically just becomes harder. It becomes more fixed. Again, why? Because typically we listen to the things we agree with, or we'll argue back in our head with the things we disagree with, but there's no relationship there to bounce that off of. So the opinion we originally held just becomes more fixed. John Wesley, George Whitefield, John Wesley was the founder of the movement that is Methodism, that we are descended from. George Whitefield was a theologian living at the same time who had very different perspective than John Wesley on things. So Wesley was what's known as an Arminian. We're not going to get into all of that, but he really emphasized free will and so forth. George Whitefield was a reformer, and he emphasized in his teaching predestination. So that's just one area they were different on, but they were differing in a number of things theologically. And at one point, George Whitefield was asked, do you think you'll see John Wesley in heaven? And Whitefield said, no. John Wesley will be so close to the throne of glory, and I will be so far away, I will hardly get a glimpse of him. Whitefield actually died before Wesley, and Wesley preached his funeral service. And he called Whitefield a man of integrity, sincerity, courage, patience, and every other valuable and amiable quality. Do you get the point? We can disagree. We can even disagree like iron. We can have strongly held feelings and opinions and thoughts about things and not disassociate and not hate one another. My next point, we can always find some common ground if we look for it. You know, even when we strongly disagree on some things, it's always possible to find some things that we do agree on, and that makes a good starting point for us in relationships. The Apostle Paul went to Athens. Athens was an intellectual center of the world at that time, and in fact, in the Bible, it says it's a place where the people spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. So I guess they had talk radio there, and they just turned it on, listened all day, right? Of course, they didn't have talk radio. You know that, right? No radio, the time of the Bible. But I thought you might laugh. Anyway, that's okay. I'll move on. So here's the thing. They love to sit, get together, and just pound out ideas, right? And they also love to worship gods. In fact, one historian said they had thousands of gods, thousands of idols to their gods, all right? And Paul comes to Athens, and he's walking around Athens, and he's looking at all these gods, right? And he gets together with a group of people, and he wants to tell them about Jesus. So he does not start out this way. You godless pagans Athenians, I can't believe you have all this. This is terrible. You're awful people. You're all going to hell, but you better listen to me. He doesn't start that way. He doesn't go that direction. Acts 17 says, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? He doesn't start out challenging them. He starts out finding common ground. You've got all these gods you worship. Wow, you are religious people. You really want to be sure that you're worshiping your gods correctly, right? And you have this statue, this idol to a god you don't know his name. Hey, can I tell you his name? Let me tell you about that God. And he goes from there. He finds the common ground. You may not agree with me that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins. But would you agree with me that people need to be loved? Would you agree with me that everyone is created in the image of God? Would you agree with me that no one should be bullied, discriminated against, or made to feel worthless? Would you agree that people should be held accountable for their actions and that no one should be or can be coerced into belief in Jesus Christ, that everyone needs forgiveness and understanding, that people deserve to have their needs for food, water, shelter, and safety met? Can we start there with that agreement and then move on from there? As a teenager, I was attending a Sunday school class, and I kind of feel guilty sometimes because I like to listen to music on the radio that wasn't Christian music. I liked it. And I would go to this class, and I thought of his name. I couldn't think of it last night. His name was Bud. Bud was the teacher. And one day Bud says, hey, next week I want you to bring in a song that you like to listen to. And it doesn't have to be a Christian song. I mean, the songs I was listening to, they included things like Spirit in the Sky. You know the song, right? Gonna go to the Spirit in the Sky, right? Okay? He ain't heavy, he's my brother, right? He invited us. What Bud was doing was what Paul did. He was crossing cultures. He was saying, listen, this is where your culture, this is your culture, this is where you're living. I'm in this culture. I want to show you that there's a connection. I want to bring those together for you. And that started something in me. When he gave me permission to listen to the songs on the radio like that, it started something for me that continues to this day, which is I love to find the Christ focus in the music that I listen to that's not Christian. It's all over the place. It's not in every song, right? And you have to use your discretion and be discerning. But there's a lot of lyrics, there's a lot of songs that have a Christ focus of one kind or another in them if we listen for it, which to me is a sign that our culture still is craving this, right? Craving love, craving forgiveness, craving mercy, craving harmony, you know, things that Jesus has promised to bring to us. They're craving it, and they just don't see it in Jesus, but we can help to bring the connections if we can learn to listen to people who don't necessarily agree with us right now. When we come together in Christ, the things that separate us become secondary to that relationship. The Bible is clear about this. If you do agree with me that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins, then you and I have a clear responsibility to place that relationship above all other things that we might disagree about. Galatians 3:28, Paul says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When I think about all the things that I am, okay, the list gets kind of long. This is just a start. I'm a son, a husband, a father, a brother, a grandfather, a friend, a runner, a guitar player, a reader. I'm an American, a New Yorker, a Genesee Countyan. I'm not sure that's right, but that's what I am. I'm a Genesee Countyan. I'm a Byronite. I'm a teacher. I'm a mentor. I'm a pastor. I'm a staff member at Northgate. And Paul would say, that's great. None of those things are as important as this. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. And if I'm a follower of Jesus and you're a follower of Jesus, then we have relationship with each other. And we might disagree about all kinds of things, politics, interpretations of some aspects of the Bible. There might be a number of things we disagree about, but here's what we have together is our relationship with Christ. And that's what should unite us. And that's what should stand above all those other things. Rick Warren said that the tragedy of this past year is that Christians no longer get their primary identity from Jesus. They get it through politics. And that's a problem. Now, many of us share our beliefs about Jesus, but not everyone who attends here does. And even though we're not going to apologize for what we believe about Jesus, we want everyone to feel welcome to be among us. Okay? A Christ follower's responsibility is to honestly share what they believe about Jesus with whoever wants to listen. It's God's job to change hearts. Part of being a welcoming place is being an honest place. So we're not gonna pretend, okay? We're not gonna pretend about things that really matter to us as a church. All right? We're going to be honest about those things. We're going to be transparent about those things. We do believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We do believe that by faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we will be in heaven and God's kingdom eternally, right? We do believe those things, and we're going to be honest and transparent about those things. But I would hope that people who come here and don't believe those things would still feel welcomed here, wherever they are in that journey. If somebody decides, here's turning it around, if somebody decides that this place is not for them, I would hope that they would be able to say, I'm not going there because I don't believe what they believe about Jesus and all of that, but I will tell you this, I felt welcome there. I felt like they wanted me to be there. I felt like they cared about me. That's what I would hope people would say. Only God can change hearts, right? Do you know that? You know, it's not our job to coerce Jesus onto people. It can't be done. All we can do is set the table for God. All we can do is prepare things for God to do what only He can do. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking to the Corinthians, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So our job, and I say our meaning us who claim Northgate as our place of worship, who know Jesus, our job is to be a place that is welcoming to people so that they can come. We plant, we water, we welcome, we care, we love, and we let God do what only He can do, which is to bring people into relationship with Jesus, right? So let me wrap this up. We are to be a place that welcomes people, full of grace, attractive in our demeanor. Colossians chapter 4, speaking to the church, Paul says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or non-voter, come as you are. Whether you're a seasoned Christian, a struggling Christian, a seeking non-Christian, or you're unsure of why you're here, or you were brought here reluctantly, you're welcome here. Whether you are regularly seeing victories over sin, or you're wrestling with sin, or you disagree with us on what constitutes sin, we're glad that you're here. All of us are on a journey. All of us are on a journey. And we need to be gracious to those who are starting out, just like we expect God to be gracious to those of us who are much further down the road. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a welcoming God. Because truth be known, some of us are just still amazed that you've invited us into your kingdom and into relationship with you. We praise you for your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness and your love. And we pray, Lord, that as a body, you would help us to exhibit all of that to people, wherever they are in their own journey with you. Help us to be a welcoming people so that people might find your love. In Christ, we pray. Amen. Anybody like Blue Bloods? TV show? I only see reruns now or the old ones because we're in bed at 9:30. I can't stay up to 10 o'clock on a Friday night watch a program. But one of the things I always enjoyed about Blue Bloods, the program, if you've seen it, is the end, right? Where most of the time the family's gathered around a table, you know, and a lot of times they have these really, you know, kind of like animated discussions about things. I always thought they needed a defense attorney. Maybe they have one now, a defense attorney. That would really spice things up. But what I appreciated about that portrayal is the idea of a family gathering around a table, not agreeing on everything, having some deeply held things, you know, opinions and feelings about stuff, but being able to hash it out and still be family. And that's the church, right? I mean, there's some things we absolutely, I'll die on that hill for sure. Jesus is Lord, amen. You know, I'll die on that hill. But there's a lot of stuff we're going to disagree about, and we can still be family. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be able to be family and, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, here's the takeaway. We want to welcome people to come as they are, trusting God to take all of us where we need to be. So, in the spirit of this message, if I've said something today that you totally disagree with, I'm right down here. Just come on down. I won't get mad. We can talk about it or send me an email, right? I mean, let's talk about this stuff. If you want prayer for something, Pastor John's here. I'm here. We'll be glad to pray with you. If you want a blessing, we'll be glad to offer a blessing for you. Just come on down front. Otherwise, go enjoy this beautiful day. Have a great week. Go in the love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.